Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Rashi podcast for Shavuot. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. For this week's podcast, I've decided to do something a little bit different. Instead of looking at something from the commentary of Rashi on Parshat HaShavuot, I've decided that instead I want to look at something that's relevant to the holiday of Shavuot, which is coming up very soon. And instead of looking at the Perush on the Torah, as we usually do, I'm going to look at something that Rashi says on the Mishnah, something from his Pirush on the Mishnah. The Mishnah I'd like to look at is at the very end of Masechet Brachot, Perek Tet Mishnah Hei. And the particular section I want to look at is the very, very end of that Mishnah. And this is basically the end of the entire Masechet. Masechet Brachot, as the name implies, is all about the brachot which we have to say, be it Birkot HaNehenin, the brachot that we have to say when enjoying something from this world, such as food, or Birkot HaMitzvot, the brachot that we have to say before performing various mitzvot. The very end of the Mishnah deals with certain takanot. Well, I should say first that the Mishnah often does go off on related tangents, as the Mishnah tends to do, but all of them are somehow connected to Brachot. And then in the last section, the part that we're going to look at today, it's part of a list of takanot that Chachamim made. Some of them are obviously related to Brachot, but this last one, at first glance, does not seem to be a Bracha per se, but we'll see pretty quickly that it really is related to the general topic of Brachot. V'hitkinu, sheyehe adam shoel et shalom chavero bashem. Chachamim made a takana that a person should greet other people, right, using the name of God. Right? Meaning, literally, shoel et shalom chavero, when a person is asking about the welfare of his or her friend, he or she should use the name of God. Shine'emar, and another Mishnah is going to bring some psukim to back this up. Shine'emar, v'hine vo'az ba mi beit lechem, v'ayomer lakutzrim Hashem imachem, v'ayomru lo yivarechecha Hashem. Right, the first pasuk that the Mishnah quotes is from Megillat Rut, and here we begin to understand the connection to Chag HaShavuot, where we read that Boaz was coming from Beit Lechem, and he said to his kotzrim, his reapers who were in the field, Hashem imachem, right, God is with you. That is how he greeted them. Vayomru lo yivarechicha Hashem. And they responded to him, Hashem should bless you. Now, first of all, we see here in this example that Boaz is asking of the welfare or greeting his fellow man using the name of God, right? Hashem imachem, yivarechecha Hashem. And presumably, they were not saying Hashem, but they were using they were saying the actual name of Hashem. We also begin to see here with this pasuk how this all connects to Masechet Brachot, right? Because when Boaz says to his kotzrim, Hashem imachem, right, God is with you, he is essentially giving them a bracha, and certainly when they say yivarechecha Hashem, God should bless you, certainly that is a bracha. Ve'omer, the Mishnah continues, Hashem imcha gibor hechayil, right, this is a pasuk from Shoftim Perek Vav, the story of Gidon, that Gidon is hiding out from the Midianim, doing some work with his chita, right, with his wheat, but he's doing it in a way that he's hiding from the Midianim, and a malach, an angel, comes to tell him that he's about to become the new shofet, who is going to be the salvation of Am Yisrael. And the angel greets him with the words, Hashem imcha gibor hechayil, God is with you, valiant hero. So here too we see somebody greeting somebody else using the name of God. Then the Mishnah continues, Ve'omer, al tavuz ki zakna imecha. It is a pasuk from Mishlei Perek Kaf Gimel. Do not disdain your mother when she is old. As the commentaries explained, this pasuk is now being brought as a backup for the pasuk from Megillat Rut. Right? If you should ask the question, Right? Why are we learning from Boaz? Right? Boaz, this is it's not from the Torah. We don't generally learn from Megillot, from books from Ketuvim, what to do. So they're quoting a pasuk to say, "Al tavuz ki zakna imecha." Right? Don't disdain your mother when she is old. Meaning, you should not disdain the ziknei ha'am. You shouldn't disdain the elders, right? Because we should learn from them, from what they do and what they say. The Omer, the Mishnah continues, this time a quote from Tehillim, Et la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratacha. When it is a time that you have to stand up and do something la'Hashem, Et la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratacha, but then it is possible or even necessary to do something that is against the Torah, she'meferet ha'Torah. Right, the classic example that is brought to illustrate this is Eliyahu on Har Carmel, right? When usually it was not permissible to build a mizbeach outside of the Beit HaMikdash once the Beit HaMikdash existed, and yet Eliyahu does so on Har Carmel. So it's that is understood that Eitlasot Hashem Hefer Toratecha. It was necessary at that moment to build it on Har Carmel in order to bring the people back from the Baal worship to the worship of Hashem, and therefore it was allowed at that moment to do something that was mefer Torah Hashem. In other words, it's permissible to do something problematic that you would not ordinarily be allowed to do if the moment requires it. Rabbi Natan Omer, hefer Torah Techa et la'asot la'Hashem. Right, Rabbi Natan. Add something to this previous statement, right? And his words are actually understood in more than one way. One possibility is to say, "Heferu taratecha et la'asot la'Hashem." They are doing something against your Torah. Why et la'asot la'Hashem? Because it was necessary to stand up and do something la'Hashem for God. Another way of understanding it is, "Heferu taratecha," people are doing things that are against the Torah, Eit Lasot Hashem. That is when you have to stand up and do something for Hashem. Okay? And so, one way or another, either Rabbi Natan is strengthening the previous statement or giving it a slightly different interpretation, but generally the same idea is being expressed. That sometimes there are situations which require one to stand up and do something which is problematic in order to strengthen Hashem, in order to bring the people back towards the worship of Hashem. The question that remains is to try to understand what the Mishnah is saying by bringing this pasuk, Eit la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratecha. In other words, in the context of what is being discussed, that a person should greet his fellow man, should ask about the welfare of his or her friend using the name of God. What there is the Eit La'asot La'Hashem, and what is the Hefer Toratecha? Right? What is the thing that needs to be done? Right? What is it that needs to be bolstered? What's the Eit La'asot La'Hashem? And what is the thing that is problematic, that is being done in order to bolster Hashem, the worship of Hashem in this case? Some commentators, such as the Tiferet Yisrael, mentions this in his Hilchata Gvirta Klala, which he says at the end, his kind of like his summary of halachic issues at the end of his Pirush on the Mishnah. And the same idea is expressed in the Kahati, which I'm going to read from here because of its relative clarity. Afkan mishum eit la'asot la'Hashem. Right here too is an example, meaning in our case about she had shoel shalom chaveru b'shem. This too is an example of eit la'asot la'Hashem. Sheyehe shem shamayim shagur b'fihem shel anashim lo chasheshu chachamim lezilzul b'chvod shamayim o lahazkarat shem shamayim levatala v'tiknu sheyehe adam shoel shalom chaveru b'shem. Right, what was the concern? Right, what was the problem that needed to be addressed? That they were afraid. Chachamim were afraid that people were going to forget the name Hashem. That Shem Shamayim was not shagur b'fihem. That people were not referring to Hashem enough. Right, that they were afraid of God's name being forgotten. This might be a technical issue, that they didn't want the actual names of Hashem to be forgotten. It could also be that they wanted people to mention God more. They wanted God to be part of the daily discussion, daily way of thinking and speaking. And so, they made a takana that people should greet each other using the name of Hashem, and that way it would be part of the daily speech. It would be, wouldn't be forgotten. Hashem, Hashem would not be forgotten. So what is the problem here, right? Perhaps to clarify, right, a little bit better, what is the Eit La'asot La'Hashem, what is the Eit La'asot La'Hashem and Feiru Torah? People, Chachamim were afraid that people would forget the name of Hashem, and Shem Shemayim would not be Shagur B'fihem. And therefore, as the Kati explained, where we just read, Lo chashashu chachamim lezuzu b'chvod shemayim, o lehazkarat shem shemayim levatalam. Right, what is the potentially problematic issue here? That if people are constantly using the name of Hashem, right, in their daily speech, right, that you would come to a situation where there would be zilzul kvod shemayim, right, that people would start to use God's name inappropriately, or it would become too common for them. They would start using it without proper respect. Or haskarat shem shemayim levatala, right? We all know that you're not allowed to use Hashem's name in vain, right? So there was a potential problem that would be what would happen, that people would start using Hashem's name inappropriately or too often, or in cases when they shouldn't be using it, and therefore it would come to that problem. But because, this interpretation explains, they were concerned that Hashem's name would be forgotten, and that issue needed to be bolstered up, they were willing to risk the potential dangers, right? Heferu Toratecha, right? They were willing to risk Zilzul Shem Shemayim in order that Shem Shemayim would not be forgotten. Rashi, if you look at his interpretation of the Mishnah, which is found in the Gemara, explains this in an entirely different way. Right? And the Bartanura follows in the footsteps of Rashi. He quotes Rashi on this Mishnah. A completely different way of understanding the Mishnah. Sheyehe adam shoel ishlom chavero b'shem, bishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo amrinan mizalzel hu b'chodo shel makom. בשביל כבוד הבריות, להוציא שם שמיים עליו, ולמדו מבואש שאמר השם עמכם, ומן המלאך שאמר לגדעון, השם עמך גיבור החיל. Right? That, again, Rashi explains, as we saw earlier, that the gzera was that they should greet other people using the name of Hashem, and they were not concerned that this was taking kvod habriyot into consideration more than kvodo shel makom, right? They weren't concerned that in order to honor other people, meaning to greet them properly, that you might risk zilzul Hashem, right? So far, part of what Rashi is saying seems to be familiar. In other words, the concern is, right, the thing that needs to be thought about is whether using Shem Shamayim would lead to a zilzul shem shamayim. But here, the alternative, right, the thing that is for which Chachamim decided that it was important to use shem shamayim isn't in order for Hashem's name not to be forgotten. Rather, it's kvod habriyot, right? We must use shem Hashem in order to properly relate to other people. Rashi explains this more clearly in the continuation of his commentary on the words Eit Lasot Hashem Heferu Toratecha. Ve'omer Eit Lasot Hashem Heferu Toratecha Pa'amim Shemivatlim Divrei Torah Kedei La'asot LaHashem. Sometimes it is necessary to cancel out Divrei Torah, words of Torah, in order to do something for Hashem. Right? This is what we've already explained. אַפ זה מתכוון לשאול לשלום חברו זהו רצונו של מקום שנאמר בקש שלום ורדפהו. This too, meaning an individual who desires to ask about another person's welfare, this is God's will. Zehu ritzono shel makom she'ne'emar bakei shalom v'radfehu. Right? How do we know it's God's will? Because Hashem says, or because it says in the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Lamidal bakei shalom v'radfehu that we are meant to seek out shalom and chase after it. Right. So the Mishnah here, according to Rashi, right, I think he's saying two things. First of all, you know, in a very concrete, literal sense, bakei shalom, you should ask about the shalom of somebody else. But also that by doing so, by asking about the welfare of another person, you are chasing after shalom. You are chasing after peacefulness. You are exhibiting a desire for there to be peace in the world. This too, Rashi explains, the Mishnah is saying, is Ritzon Hashem. Mutar lehafer b'torah v'lasot devar hanir asur, right? And in order to do this, in order to do this thing which is ritzono shel makom, in order to strengthen it, to bolster it, Rashi says, you are allowed to be mefer the Torah. You're allowed to do something which is against the Torah v'lasot devar hanir asur, to do something which seems to be prohibited. Now this is an entirely different way of understanding the Mishnah, right? Rashi is not saying that in order to make sure that God's name is not forgiven, we can risk the possibility that God's name will be overused, right? Which don't miss this point that both of those things are for God. Those are both Ben Adam LeMakom issues, right? The fact that the Takana was that people should ask about the welfare of other people is merely the means towards making sure that God's name is not forgiven. But here, according to Rashi, he understands the Mishnah as saying that the asking of the welfare of the other person is the end. Right? That is the thing that needs to be bolstered, and in order to do that, to strengthen the Bakei Shalom V'Radfehu, you're allowed to do something which seems to be problematic, which seems to be forbidden, meaning using the name of God. Now, in my opinion, it is no coincidence, right, that the Mishnah is quoting a pasuk about Boaz. Now, it's true the Mishnah also quotes a pasuk about Gidon, but it's not really a pasuk about Gidon. It's a pasuk about the Melach who speaks to Gidon. And although we don't have time to go into it in detail here, the Mishnah itself, in general, seems to relate more to the pasuk about Boaz than about this Malach. When the Malach speaks to Gidon and says, Hashem Chagi Barachai, and as all or many Mefashim point out, the Malach is a Malach, meaning it's not terribly surprising that an angel would use the name of God, right? The angel is basically the messenger of God, and therefore basically like God himself, and therefore it's not something that we can necessarily learn from. Oh, well, if the angel can use the name of God, well, we can also. And the psukim, or specifically the pasuk from Mishlei, which is quoted in the continuation of the Mishnah, right, Al tavus ki zaknaim imecha, right, that relates solely to the pasuk about Boaz, right? Fine, angels are angels, but how can we, if you want to claim that we, human beings, can learn from Boaz, well, how can we do that? And so they bring other psukim to bolster that opinion, to say, well, in Mishlei it says that you should pay attention to what your elders do and learn from them, right? And in Tehillim it says, right, a pasuk which says that it is necessarily for people, for human beings, to sometimes do things which are unusual, right? And this all these psukim relate only to what Boaz is doing, not so much to what the Malach is doing, because again, the Malach is a Malach, and we don't question what angels do, but we might question what human beings do, and if we are going to do it and we're going to learn it from another human being, well, we have to make sure that's the right thing to do. And so, going back to my original statement, it doesn't surprise me that the pasuk that is being used to bolster this idea, and here I'm going with Rashi's understanding of the Mishnah, right? That the Mishnah is saying that in order to greet another human being, to ask about their welfare, you are allowed to use the Shem Hashem, and that this is ritzono shel makom, and that this is something that you're even allowed to do that which is not ordinarily acceptable in order to do it right. Right? It makes perfect sense that Boaz is being a pasuk about Boaz is being used here. Migivat Rut, and in this context we cannot have a full shiur on Migivat Rut, but I will, you know, explain certain things broadly with an assumption that some of these ideas are familiar to you. Migivat Rut is essentially, if I'm going to use the terminology of the Mishnah, a book which is all about She'ilat Shalom Chaviro. Throughout the book of Rut, but throughout Megillat Rut, individuals are asking about the welfare of others. Rut cares about Naomi and acts according to what she feels Naomi needs. Later on, Boaz recognizes this in Rut and does the same to Rut. He asks about her and asks about her welfare and acts accordingly, helps her out in kind of a parallel way, and he says this explicitly, to the kindness that Rut showed to Naomi. And then later on in the book, Naomi then seeks out the welfare of Rut and kind of encourages her to go and seek out Boaz. Right? And this is how the book of Rut is structured, basically. It's a book whose plot progresses based on She'ilat Shalom Chaviro. Now, it's not coincidental, in my opinion, and here you're going to have to take my word for it and, you know, go look up the sources yourself, that in almost every single case where somebody is asking Shalom Chaviro in the book, where they're seeking out the welfare of another person to see how they can help out the other person, there's always a bracha involved. But one example, when Boaz asks about Rut to see what her story is, and then he finds out who she is, right? He says to her, Perek Bet Pasuk Yudbet, Yishalem Hashem Pa'alech, V'tihi Maskortech Shlema Me'im Hashem Elohei Yisrael Asher Bat Lachasot Tachak Nafav. He gives her a bracha, right? That Hashem should repay her for that which she has done. Later on, when Ruth goes back and reports to Naomi about this man who's been very kind to her, right? Naomi says, "Yehi makirech baruch," right? He who has recognized you, meaning who has helped you out, should be blessed. And throughout the book of Ruth, there's bracha, like bouncing back and forth between the main players of the story. And again, this is how the story progresses. If one bracha had not been given out, the next one wouldn't have happened, right? Take a look at the book, read it carefully, and you'll notice this. It's not coincidence in my mind that this is the book which is being quoted from here. And of course, the pasuk which the Mishnah quotes is an example of this as well. And it's almost like the paradigm for what happens in the book generally. Right? And that, of course, is the pasuk about Boaz, which is stated very close to the beginning of the book, at the beginning of Perek Bet, where Yovayomer laKotzim Hashem imechem, vayamru lo yivrechecha Hashem. Right, this book, Migivat Rut is telling us from the very beginning, is about people greeting each other. Each person shoel et shalom chaveiro, and right, you know, in the language of Masechet Brachot, Shilat Shalom, people asking Shalom. It's a book about Shilat Shalom Chaveiro. It's a book about people giving brachot to one another. So in a word, right, and this is the word that is often associated with Megillat Rut, Megillat Rut is a book about chesed, about the kindnesses that people do to one another. And, you know, among the very many reasons that people use to explain why we read Megillat Rut on Chag HaShavuot, one which is particularly meaningful is dafka the idea of chesed, that if Shavuot is the holiday of Torah, that the holiday of Din, right, the day that we receive the Torah and we're told what the letter of the law was, then the Megillat Rut is the companion book which tells us what the spirit of the law is, right? That without the chesed, the Torah is simply not enough. The Torah is the Din, Megillat Rut is the Lifni Mishurat HaDin, the going above and beyond the letter of the law. But I think that our Mishnah takes this idea one step further. If, as we just said, Megillat Rut is that which teaches us that sometimes you have to do that extra little bit in order to truly fulfill that which the Torah wants us to do. This Mishnah is teaching that sometimes you have to do that which is unexpected in a different way in order to fulfill the Torah. That sometimes you have to do not only an extra measure of that which is clearly seen as desirable, but sometimes you have to do something which might be seen initially as undesirable in order to fulfill the Torah properly. And again, this might be most appropriate within the context of Megillat Rut in the character and the personality of Boaz. Right, what does Boaz do in the story? Now, at the beginning of the story, he does the chesed that we're familiar with in Megillat Rut. Right, he does the extra kindness to Rut. He does more than he has to help Rut out. But when it comes to the technical issue in Perek Dalet of Megillat Rut, where the question of whether Rut will be able to marry a member of Boaz's family, or more accurately, of Naomi's family, Boaz steps in, and he's the one who's willing to marry Rut. Now, according to on a certain level, this, of course, is another example of chesed. He's willing to do what others are not willing to do. He's willing to marry Ruth, which was not an obligation. Right? Again, we don't have time to explain all this right now, but it was not an obligation that he marry Ruth, but it was the right thing to do. Ploni Almoni, right, opts not to do it. He says, for whatever reason, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And Boaz, on the other hand, says that he will take that step, that extra step, and he will do even that which he is not required to do because it is the right thing to do. Right? That's the chesed that we've seen before. Right? But according to one explanation of why Ploni Almoni did not want to marry Rut, it has to do with the fact that she was a Moavia. Right? And we all know that the Torah says, Lo tavo Amoni v'moavi b'chal Hashem. Right? So, it seems initially, and this is discussed already in the Gemara, that Boaz marrying Ruth is a problem, right? There's a din against it in the Torah. Right? She cannot be part of Kahal Hashem. And in Gemara already, it explains that it's Moavi and not Moaviyah, right? The Gemara explains why it was okay, right? The prohibition was only against the male Moavi marrying into Kahal Hashem and not the females. And yet, some interpretations say that Ploni Almoni did not want to marry Ruth because he didn't know that. He didn't understand that it was okay to marry Ruth HaMoaviyah. But even so, if you look in the Pshat of Megillat Rut, it's clear that she is Ruth HaMoaviyah throughout the book. And when she comes to Beit Lechem, she is seen as a foreigner. She is seen as someone who is not going to be accepted into society so easily. And it takes someone like Boaz to take that step, to do that thing which is not so acceptable, is seen as possibly prohibited, as seen certainly as problematic, and say, no, this is the right thing to do. It's interesting that in a related Gemara, in Masechet Makot, Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, we see Boaz being, with this same pasuk from Boaz being quoted, in a slightly different but related context. So there, the Gemara states that there are three things that were decreed by the Beit Din Shalmala, by the earthly court. The Beit Din Shalmala agreed with it, right? And the heavenly court, meaning Hashem, agreed to it, meaning that it was decided down here on earth, and then Hashem said, yes, that I agree. That's good, right? And one of the three examples that is brought is this same example of Shilat Shalom B'Shem Chaveiro, which was declared in the Beit Din Shalmata, quote, pasuk about Boaz, Hashem Imechem Vayemru Lo Yivarechecha Hashem, and Hashem agreed to it and said that's the right thing to do, right? So that the language of the Gemara Makot strengthens this idea of what we're about to say. Sometimes it's necessary for the Beit Din Shalmata to say, this is the right thing to do, this is what we have to do. And then and then ultimately it'll be seen that this is what the Beit Din Shalmata wants. Now Rashi's not suggesting here that we go and do things that are chalila against the Torah, mamash against the Torah, right? That things that are asur min ha-Torah, but rather lahafer Torah v'la'asot davar hanir'eh asur. Right? He's not saying we should go against an explicit law in the Torah, but to do things that seem to be asur. Right? So the message seems to be that sometimes in order to keep the Torah properly, it's necessary to be courageous, right? To do things which aren't popular, to make decisions which might seem to be problematic, but ultimately, which are necessary in order, you know, lasod l'Hashem, to keep the Torah in the proper way. Wishing you all Shabbat Shalom u'mvorach and Chag Shavuot, Chag Matan Torah Sameach.